In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today proclaiming the Word of God. We're looking at the 8th chapter of St. Luke, and Jesus has just calmed the storm, and he goes to the other side of the lake. It would be the Gentile side, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over and against the Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils for a long time and wore no clothes, neither did he live in any house, but in the tombs. This is a man that's out of his mind. You know what they say today? He needed medicine. This is not something that medicine can cure. He needs deliverance. That's what he needs. And I'm going to tell you, people know when they need deliverance. People know when they need deliverance. One person that I know of went someplace and was tested for something. And after he was tested for something, the person said, "I have problems with demons." This was the person that was testing him. And so this person prayed with them, and the demons came out. I'm telling you that everything is not cured by medicine. I told you the story before of the woman who came to me, and she had her food cursed, and she was under a curse, and she couldn't deal with it any longer. She came to me fasting and praying with her daughter, and that day God delivered her from the evil spirit. It was that day, that very day, God, and when she got delivered, the place was filled with the awesome presence of God. I'm telling you that demons are real, but Jesus is more real. That's the way it is. When he saw Jesus, this is the demoniac, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of God Most High? I beseech you, torment me not." He knows who Jesus is. The demons know who Jesus is. The Son of the Most High God. You see, this is something that's so beautiful, but Jesus won't let him proclaim his name, because only the people that love Jesus are to call Jesus Son of the Most High God. "For he had commanded," Jesus, "the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven by the devil into the wilderness." This guy is really possessed. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many evil spirits had entered into him. Legion. Many evil spirits had entered into him. So what is Jesus going to do? Is he going to preach a sermon? Oh no. He's going to deliver the man. "And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep." The demon said, "Don't let us go into the deep." And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into the swine, and he suffered them. And then when the devils went out of the man and entered into the swine, the whole herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake where they had been choked. Then when they had fed them, saw what the people who had fed the pigs saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Why do you think that they told it to people? Why do you think they fled? They're scared. Why are they scared? They've got their own demons. Oh yes, they've got their own demons. You know, if you are on the internet looking at lustful things, I'm telling you, you have a demon. It's called the demon of lust. Oh yes. Oh, yes, I'm telling you that this is something real that you look at. And you know what I say to people? Just picture it being your mother or your oldest sister that she's doing these things. You soon will stop. Oh, yes, you've got a demon of lust. I remember the three young boys that were in Rhode Island, and they came up to me saying, we have a demon of lust. And this was not confession. This was in front of the whole group. And in the name of Jesus, I commanded the demon of lust to leave them, and they started to squirm like snakes and cough and cough and cough. When they had finished and God had finished with them, their faces were like shining with the glory. You see, this is God working. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. Oh, yes, this is the work of the kingdom. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. I told you why they're afraid. They've got their own demons. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Jesus to depart from them. You would think that they would say, Jesus, stay with us a little while. No, get out of here. It's too close for comfort. What you did to the man, you need to do to us. Just leave now. We don't want you here any longer. And he departed from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up in the boat and returned back again to the other side of the lake. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Jesus that he might be with him. He wanted to become a disciple. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell of the great things that God has done for you. And he went to his way and published throughout the whole city how many great things that Jesus had done for him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now, that's the other side of the lake, and the people are all waiting for him. Why? Because it's Jesus' free clinic. He's Dr. Jesus. He heals the sick. He opens the eyes of the blind. He opens the ears of the deaf. He raises the widow of Nain's son. I'm saying, my friends, this is reality. This is reality. I don't think we need to be centered upon demons. No, I don't want to be centered upon demons. I want to be centered upon Jesus Christ. I want to be centered upon the blood. I want to be centered upon the cross. I don't want to be centered about demons. But I know they exist and people carry them. And the people who carry them know it. They know it. They know it. You don't have to tell them. They know it. The man that this person prayed with the other day knew that there was something wrong more than a sickness, that this was demonic. And the person prayed, and by God's grace it came out. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Jesus that he would come into his house. We remember Jairus. We remember what he's there for. What is she? What is he there for? His daughter is dying. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years old, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So Jesus can even go out into the middle of the streets because people throng him. Why? Because they want to be healed. And a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, that made her unclean. She couldn't go to the synagogue. She couldn't go to the temple. She's not even supposed to be out because she's unclean, which had spent all her monies upon physicians. Neither could be healed by any of the physicians. She came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. Isn't this something? Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? when everyone denied, Peter and they that were with Jesus said, Master, there's a multitude of people here, and they're pressing upon you. And you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue, healing virtue, has gone out of me. That woman came for a miracle. That woman came for a miracle. There is a throng of people around Jesus, but this woman came with faith. She knows that if she touches just the hem of his garment, she's going to be healed. And Jesus knows that something has happened, that healing virtue came from him. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Isn't it interesting that there was a throng of people, but there was only one person healed? Because she touched him with faith. Isn't it interesting? Just the faith of a mustard seed. You see, she was desperate. Oh yes, if you're desperate today, Jesus can take care of your desperation. And we're living in a time that's really, really messed up. We are living in a time when they're killing Christians in the Middle East. They're chopping off heads. Oh my gosh, I saw a picture of one where about, there must have been 50 heads that were in a circle. I'm telling you, we are living in times that are dark, and the only thing that's going to save us is our experience with Jesus and our love for Jesus and our need of Jesus. As I said yesterday, 40 years ago, this was prophesied that the church would become like not as big as it always was, and it would become not as big as it always was, and that there would be great trials in the country, and we are dealing with those trials in the country. We are dealing with those people of ISIS. You know what I'm saying? We don't know if they're in our land. The borders are open, and we don't know if any of them have come into our land to destroy us. Is this another demon? These are demonized people in ISIS that chop people's heads off. These are demonized people. And Jesus said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. And while he yet spoke, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to Jesus, Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master. Well, listen to what Jesus says. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him again, Don't be afraid. Only believe, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the young girl. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Don't weep. She is not dead. She sleeps. And they began to laugh at Jesus to scorn. Well, I'm going to tell you, their sorrow couldn't have been too deep, because they're laughing at Jesus. They're going from crying about the young girl dying, now they're laughing at Jesus because he says she's not dead. Knowing that she was dead, the people said, and he put them all out. He threw them out. Why? They were faithless. Get out of here, you faithless generation. It takes faith to bring healing. We want the faith of Jesus. I told Jesus several days ago, I give you my faith. I want your faith. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far are my ways above your ways. Yes. And he put all of them out and took the little girl by the hand, and he called, saying, Little girl, arise. And her spirit came back to her again, and she arose straightway and commanded to give her meat, give her something to eat. I love this one. I've told you this so many times, but the father took this young girl to me who was bulimic and what's the other one? Whatever. What is it?
Anorexic.
Yeah. And the father took her to me, and you know, all the talking in the world wasn't going to open her up to eat. So I got the Bible and I said, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus that you find a passage that's going to mean something to you. And so she opened the Bible to this, to 55, Luke 9, 55, give her something to eat. And she and her father went to buy a vanilla frap. I'm telling you, God wants to do miracles. God is a miracle-working God. But not only miracles, he wants to do conversions, like people that are looking on the internet at wrong things. They know it's wrong. It's slime. It's slime. And yet people are doing this over and over again. It's time to repent, and it's time to believe that the Lord has something for you that only he has, and that he wants to do a great work in you because he is the Lord. And her spirit came back, and she arose straightway, and he commanded them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Well, you know what? It's very interesting. The din of people that were there knew she was dead, and now she's going to be coming out, maybe fetching water, and they're going to say, you were dead. Oh, yes. The parents don't need to tell people about what Jesus did. This little girl's life will tell Jesus what Jesus did to her. Let me tell you this, my friends. In Acts 3, we saw the man who was crippled at the beautiful gate, and he was looking for money. He was looking for money. And Peter and John walked by and said, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And so he started to jump and leap and praise God. I'm telling you, he became a witness. This little girl becomes a witness, even though Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Everybody's going to know it because they knew she was dead. Do you know what I'm saying? This is interesting. Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Let me tell you why. Because the greatest miracle is going to be on the cross. That's the greatest miracle, is on the cross. Chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. What did he give them? Power. Did he give them words? No, he gave them power and authority over all the evil spirits and to cure diseases. So Jesus gives them power. He probably lays hands upon them and gives them power. Do you have the power of God? Is God's power radiating in your life? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you know the power of God? Have you witnessed the power of God? I have witnessed it. I have seen it, and I know it. I know it to be true. I know it to be real, and I know it that from my hands, so many people have been healed. Now, I haven't done the healing. It's Jesus who does the healing. But he works through our hands. Do you know that you are the hands of Jesus in your family? Do you know that you are the feet of Jesus in your family? Oh, yes. God wants to do something in you for your family. And He let's read that again. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over the devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Let me tell you, things have not changed. The Lord calls us to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Thomas Aquinas said, if they don't listen to you, he said to his brothers, raise the dead. Jesus Christ has power. He has power to give us. I often think that when I'm with a group of priests and they're going down the aisle to do ordination with the bishop, I think there's so much power in these men, and most of the men do not even know that they have power. They have power. Oh, yes, God has given the priest power, but not only to give it to the priest, but the priest is to order the holy. That's what they call holy orders, to give people power, to let them know that God wants them to have power in the name of Jesus. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff a scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither two coats. And whatsoever house you enter, there live, and from there depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake the dust off your feet for a testimony against them. Oh, I remember many years ago when I received a call from our station in St. Louis. This man came to me on the phone and says, we're going to throw you off of St. Louis. I said, why? He says, I'm looking for big names, and you're not a big name. And I said to him, do you know, just 2 days ago, somebody called me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they were suicidal from St. Louis. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shake the dust off my feet, and I'm going to call it a reproach against you, because you're thinking of big names. I think about God's people. But do you know what happened? Between that day and the time I was off, I called another station in St. Louis and have been on ever since. And I'm on, I believe, at 1:30 St. Louis time, I think. And I think I'm on Sundays too. And you see, God worked. I shook the dust from my feet. That poor kid didn't have any idea. He wasn't into the Holy Spirit. He was into getting names for himself. You know, the only name I want to use is the name of Jesus. His is the name above every other name. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the Savior of the world. That's who Jesus is. So shake the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. I want to tell you that the healing was part of the gospel. It still is. Oh yes, the lady that came to me with cancer in the stomach, and I prayed with her, and I saw a steel wool pad, and I said, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out. When she went to the doctors and they gave her another test, you know what? He said, the cancer is gone. It looks like it's been scoured out. That's the power of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power God gave me at baptism, at confirmation, and at holy orders. That's the power I received when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go and do things of power. Jesus wants his people to be filled with power, but we need to look at him, not at the power. We need to know that Jesus wants things done, and that we are his servants, and we are his handmaids, and we are all that he wants us to be. And this can happen in any place. I've prayed in fruit stores. I've prayed in grocery stores. I've prayed in coffee shops. I've prayed for people wherever I go. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Oh yes, I'm going to tell you, if you're healing the sick, that's the gospel to them, that Jesus saves and Jesus heals. Do you know that today? That's what I'm asking. Do you know that today? Do you know that Jesus wants to heal you? That Jesus wants to come to you? Do you know that today? I'm going to pray with you right now. Just put your hand on the sick part of your body. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood, I say be healed. By the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel, the blood of Jesus speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. I call those things to be now that are not as if they are, and they are by faith. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. As healing virtue goes from Christ into your body, legs be healed now, lungs be healed now, stomachs be healed now, migraine headaches in the name of Jesus be healed now. I was praying with someone the other day and I put my hands on her. I didn't know she had a headache. She said, I had a headache and it's gone now. Oh yes, Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is all that we have, all that we have, and He's enough. Can I tell you a secret? He's enough. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, be healed now. Be healed now in your arms. Arthritis melts away in the name of Jesus. Arthritis melts away in the name of Jesus. Healing of the eyes in the name of Jesus. Healing of the mouth and teeth in the name of Jesus. Be healed now by the power of the cross. And I say to you, Lord, thank you. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Today I ask you to read the 9th chapter of St. Luke. Read it and see that God wants to give you power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.